This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Welcome to the Kings of Sport, the program that's changing the game one show at a time, with your hosts, Nate Milton.
Yes! That boy's good!
And Marcus Vandenberg.
Let's say!
So sit back and relax, because you're now down with the Kings.
Down with the King for years, about 10 of them. Recruiting suckers, Mac and Mike and making men of them. Tears and fears for my peers.
And welcome to the Kings of Sport, the program that's changing the game one show at a time, a.k.a. the world's most dangerous sports show, a.k.a. iTunes' longest-running weekly episodic sports podcast, hosted and produced by two or more African-Americans that are not affiliated with a major network. I'm the Godfather, Nate Milton, joined as always by my partner in crime, Marcus Vandenberg. What's going on, brother?
What's up, man? How you doing? Mr. October?
Yes, I was going to say, move over, Reggie. There's a Mr. October. I am. For those of you that are my Facebook friends, you already know this wondrous news. But for the rest of you out there in Kings of Sport Nation, I am the first. I am the inaugural employee of the month at my place of business, Zaxby's. And, you know, got the plaque, got some movie tickets, and I got $50, which is nice.
Not bad. And a cheesy photo.
You know, I got to set the bar. I got to set the standard. You know?
Yeah, you set it pretty high there. It's a lot of cheese going on.
One dude took a snapshot and compared it to a Diamond Dallas page, a Positively page. Like, okay, yeah, I can see that. But the cool thing, though, I will say, like a bunch of people hopped up on there and showed some love, but the surprising one was Zaxby's corporate. Like, the corporate page actually hit me up.
Oh, on Facebook?
Yeah, they were commented. They were like, "Hey, congratulations, Nate. We're lucky to have you."
Oh, shut you out.
Yeah, so maybe, you know, I've talked to them in the past about possibly sponsoring a certain sports podcast. So now I got some leverage.
I see. Now, all right, Marissa Mayer is not hitting me up on my Facebook page. I'm more lucky to have you, Marcus. Now I'm not getting that at work. So you got me beat.
You know? So now I'd be like, don't you know who I am? I'm Mr. October. So, yeah, I was messing with my boss today when I went in, and she was like, well, how you doing, Mr. Employee of the Month? I was like, I'm turning my 2 weeks' notice because, you know, I've reached the top of the mountain. Nowhere to go down. I'm going to go out on top. And she was like, Negro, please. So... So yeah, that's my week. It started off pretty good. Yeah, I'm tired as hell. I went in this morning at 7, and we're doing the Kings of Sport right now. I've got an appearance on the Atomic Podcast after this, and
an
then
appearance. Look at you.
And, you know, the people. It's funny because of how this appearance worked out. Like, the dude wasn't even the guy that's on the podcast. There was somebody that I guess listens to the Kings of Sport and like the Review and Impact. And he also listens to the Atomic Podcast. He was saying, why can't such and such be more like Nate? And then the guy started taking shots on Twitter. And, you know, I rise above hate. I'm the John Cena of the black podcast world.
Wait, he's taking shots at you?
Yeah.
Hmm.
So he was challenging me, calling me out for a debate. So, you know, I was like staying above the fray. But then I actually checked him out. And they hooked me because they had an interview one of their podcasts with Richard Bay, and I was a big fan of Richard Bay back in the day. He's, for those of you that don't know, he was kind of like the Jerry Springer before Jerry Springer. So I was like, okay, I can follow Richard Bay. So I got that show coming up after the Kings of Sport, and then after that, I got Pipe Bomb Radio. So it's like 6 hours of podcasting tonight. So
you know what I got? I got some chicken wings and some basketball to watch. So I'm off today.
I was gonna say you're gonna have to carry the team this week, Marcus. You're gonna have to be the Shawn Michaels to my Marty Jannetty.
Ooh, you're at least Diesel.
I'm Diesel.
Yeah, you're not Ed Marty territory.
I can be, what's the boy? I could be Robert Gibson to your Ricky Morton.
There you go.
Yeah.
That makes us both racist then.
Yeah. Shout out to the Rock and Roll Express. So, we've got a big show this week. Of course, we got Second Down coming up, and we'll have our picks challenge as well as talk about some NFL and college football. We're going to talk wrestling on this program. We're bringing it back this week. And we got some crazy stuff to talk about in segment four, but we're going to start off the A block with some NBA, Marcus. It is back. The World Series is over. Shout out to the Giants. Football is at the midway point. Hockey is restarted. But basketball, to me, is probably my favorite sport in terms of watching it on TV. And a lot of credit for that goes to the good people at the NBA on TNT.
Yes, they had the best show on television is back inside the NBA. They didn't disappoint. Except Thursday, Chuck wasn't there. Charles Barkley was calling the Cavaliers game, so he wasn't in studio on Thursday.
I think everybody was at the Cavaliers game on Thursday.
Yeah. We weren't.
I was too busy working. That's how you get the employee of the month.
But yeah, let's start with the Cavaliers. What are your thoughts so far on the 1-1 Cavaliers?
Yes, for everybody out there listening to the Kings of Sport out there in South Beach, the team without LeBron James is 3-0. The team with LeBron James is 1-1. Enjoy it while it lasts, Miami. The first two Cavs games were interesting. The opener was... The result was surprising, and some of the early jitters were a bit surprising. But I mean, we saw this movie already. When LeBron first went to Miami, there was a period of growing pains where he had to connect with these new teammates. And even after the game, LeBron, I think he had 8 or 9 turnovers. And he was like, I threw the ball to a spot where I was expecting Kyrie to be, and Kyrie wasn't there. And that's because he and Kyrie haven't really had a lot of time to gel out there on the court. But there were some positive signs. Kevin Love looks like he fit right in there and play the Chris Bosh role and then some. So losing to the Knicks was not a good look. But the determination they showed against the Bulls on Friday on Halloween trick-or-treat, winning in overtime, I thought that was a really good performance. And I think you're going to get a lot of these. You're going to get a lot of good games. You're going to get a lot of messy games, a lot of sloppy games. And then you're going to get the occasional spectacular game, at least for the first, I'd say for the first 20 to 25 games of the season. It's going to be this kind of feeling out period for the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Yeah, they were real lucky to win that game because you got to remember Derrick Rose got hurt and he wasn't around for the fourth quarter, I believe, in overtime, where Chicago coughed up that lead late. So, I mean, they could easily be 0-2 at this point. And that would be interesting to see what the reaction would be if LeBron started his homecoming 0-2. And they now hit the road for a interesting 3-game road trip that starts on Tuesday in Portland. And they play Utah the following night and then Denver on Friday. So those are all tough games on the road because Utah, while they're young and inexperienced, you get a team on a back-to-back that automatically helps the team like Utah Jazz. And then Denver is always a crapshoot, especially playing in Denver where it's the altitude and all that going on. So, it wouldn't surprise me if they came back home from this road trip and they were 1-2. I mean, I could see them losing to Portland for sure. And I could see them splitting the games between Utah and Denver. So it's a long season. I mean, I don't think the fans of Cleveland who are used to losing, are going to freak out about this because, I think they know that it'll all work out. But it's been interesting to watch so far. A lot better to watch the Cavaliers than my Los Angeles Lakers.
Yeah, and LeBron did a smart thing in the preseason by lowering expectations. It's going to take some time. But I do think when they get everything straightened out, they are going to be one of the top 3 teams in the East, maybe the best team in the East, depending on Derrick Rose's health, which is always a question mark. And it's funny, you know, some of these Cavs fans are already like, oh, we got to get rid of Blatt, which is just preposterous. I mean, eventually you may have to get rid of Blatt because I don't know. Nobody knows.
No one knows, yeah.
Right, what he is as an NBA head coach. But it's not like – he's not like somebody like a Steve Kerr or, you know, somebody like a Derek Fisher who this is their first coaching job, period. Yeah. You know, Blatt's got experience. He's played with superstar talent before, big egos before. It's just a matter of can that international experience translate to the NBA, and it's going to take time for him as well as the team to kind of work this thing out.
Yeah, I mean, no one has pointed the finger at him yet, and that's the way it should be because he hasn't done anything yet in the first two games where I'm questioning his coaching ability in the NBA. So I just think it's going to take time for them to gel and get on the same page.
Yeah, and real quick, the last thing on the Cavs, the best thing about Thursday night was all the LeBron James homecoming commercials. Like you had the one for Beats by, I think, was it Beats by Dre?
The only one that stands out is, what was it, Nike or Gatorade or the one that kept showing?
Sprite had one because LeBron was like, home is where my thirst is. And then Nike had one, but the best one to me was, I think it's Beats by Dre, the headphones. And it's like LeBron going into the gym, like he's hearing all these people, kind of like the Kevin Garnett commercial last year, where he's hearing all the talk and he puts on the headphones and he's tuning out the haters out there, and he goes to his old high school gym, which has been retrofitted as a workout facility for LeBron, and he's just sweating and working, and the music in the background, amen, amen. It's like real spiritual, and at the end of the thing, it's like you got LeBron's mother in there. Akron is where your home is. I'm so proud of you, baby. So
everybody cashing in on LeBron, man.
Everybody. Like, I was expecting Rich Paul to pop up in the joint. A Maverick Carter in the background. Like, everybody's eating off of LeBron. Like, even the McDonald's, they Monopoly was based.
Yeah, I saw that.
Coming back. With him and the Uncle Penny bags. Like, welcome back. You too, LeBron. Like, what the hell are we doing here?
Yeah.
I don't think people realize the great hypocrisy of this whole story. Like, the exact same thing he did when he left Cleveland is pretty much the same thing he did when he left Miami. But it's just, we like the homecoming story better. The media likes the homecoming story better, so he's the hero. Whereas when he left to go to Miami, he was the villain.
Yeah, he left after a disappointing performance in the playoffs. I mean, I guess the big difference is that the decision, he didn't really make that a spectacle per se, but he did use a media outlet to make the announcement, similar to when he left for Miami. It just wasn't on television. He didn't, you know, he could have just had a press conference and just done it, you know, but he decided to use Sports Illustrated. So, yeah, there's some similarities there for sure.
Speaking of Sports Illustrated, former Sports Illustrated cover girl, because I think she was on the cover with like some basketballs in place of or in front of her breasts, is
who?
Jeannie Buss. I think it was Sports Illustrated where she had the basketball strategically placed.
I think it was.
And she recently was on Keith Olbermann, and she called, you know, going back to the story we talked about, was it last week we brought it up?
The Kobe story?
Yeah.
I think it was, yeah.
She went on and said that anybody in the organization that might have said these things will be terminated on site, and any free agent that is scared to play with Kobe is a loser, Marcus Vandenberg.
You know who the real losers are? The Los Angeles Lakers. Those are the real losers, right?
I thought you were going to say the fans.
Wow. Us too.
You have to watch this pitiful team.
Yo, this team sucks, man.
And you lost Steve Nash, and then Randall went down.
How about, let's start with Steve Nash. Well, I respect his contribution to the league as a Canadian and what he brought to the NBA. This dude gets a bit of a slide here because, you know, he could have walked away from the NBA. But no, everyone said, oh, he's let him make his money. He earned that $9 million. You know, he had coming in his last year. Then he doesn't make it to the regular season. And on top of that, we're not going to see him. The Lakers aren't going to see him. He's pretty much walked away from the team at this point. So he's getting paid to pretty much, you know, quote-unquote rehab at home. The whole announcement that he's out for the season with a back injury, it just something fishy there, you know? And no one, you know, really called him out and said, why aren't you getting treatment, you know, if you're still part of this team, whether you're playing or not, unless you're going to retire. He didn't retire, you noticed, when he made this announcement last week. So we're under the impression that he's still trying to come back to play next season, which I'm not buying. I don't think it's going to happen. So if that's the case, if he's still an active member of this team, why aren't you showing up for rehab, showing up on the bench, traveling with the team? This is all stuff Kobe was doing last year when Kobe could have melded in and sat at home with his injury. So that really rubbed me the wrong way. And then poor Julius Randle snapped his leg, and he's out for the season. So,
I mean, Steve Nash may not be an all-star in the NBA this year, but he has earned a big-time place on the Ski Mask All-Stars roster because he straight robbed the Lakers.
Man, he...
In broad daylight.
Yeah.
It's an interesting story, though, Marcus. I guess it's been out for the last couple of hours. I'm just reading the Steve Nash news here, and there's a chance that they could make a deal with him with his expiring contract. Like, some teams may be interested in that contract expiring, and they may be willing to move Steve Nash, you know, knowing that he won't step foot on the court for him.
That has happened before. It happened last year with, I want to say, Brendan Haywood? No, I'm back to Okafor. Okafor was traded from Washington to Phoenix, I believe, or vice versa, at the start of the season, and he had an expiring deal, and he didn't play at all last season. It happened with, Barbosa last year when he got injured and was out for the season when trade deadline came up. His contract was moved, and he never played for whatever team he landed up in. So, yeah, I could see that happening. I don't know, you know, where he would end up, and you know, I doubt whoever sees him playing the NBA again, but if the Raptors want to take him just to say he's a member of the Toronto Raptors, then by all means, we'll take something off him for his $9 million contract.
Yeah, I mean, it's a sad state of affairs for the Lakers, and you know, you Jeremy Lin, Swaggy P, Kobe Bryant. I think that's all you got, man.
This team is so bad. It you know, it doesn't help. Their schedule was so brutal in November that I really think they'd go 0-13. No problem. If you look at the schedule.
Here's the question, Marcus. Here is the question. Uh-huh. If you're Kobe Bean Bryant, you know you're getting paid by this organization. But we know that money, while it's a factor, it is not your motivating factor, at least what we know of you. You are all about competition. You're all about proving that you're the best, proving that you still got it. Could you see a scenario where Kobe's like, hey, man, y'all can go ahead and trade me if you want?
No, but I think he knows his contract's going to be tough to trade. Who's going to take that contract on? Or who has the cap space, number one, to take the contract on? And then number two, willing to make a move for a guy who's 35, 36 now? I think he's going to be very content with making his money, taking his 30 shots a night, and we'll see the occasional blow up in the press and on the court with players, teammates, Dwight Howard, whoever. But I think he knows that he put himself in a situation, he put the Lakers in a situation when he signed that deal, that they are tight for cash at the moment, and there's nothing they can do about it.
Yeah, you know, it's one of those situations where you make your bed and you have to lie in it. Yeah, you make a decision and you have to live the outcome of that decision. And so, you know, I've never been one of them dudes that rides for Kobe. I got plenty of friends out in L.A. that still to this day will ride for Kobe. I'm like, you know, he's just a man. But at the same time, there is a part of me that feels sorry for him, but it's kind of like, hey, you knew what you were getting into when you took that deal.
Yeah, I will not shed any tears for Kobe Bryant because the reason they're in this mess, or one of the reasons why they're in this mess, is that contract. And, you know, people were blaming D'Antoni, myself included, last season. Have you noticed who has the worst defense still in the NBA? By far? The Los Angeles Lakers. They're giving up 118 points through their first four games. That's
I'm telling you, like, I think Byron Scott should have just sat this year out, man. Like, I would rather be at home than be the coach of the Lakers.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think this will be a Mike Brown situation where he'll get the...
No, I don't see it being that, but by the time this team is any good, he won't be a part of that.
It'll be after Kobe retires, so it'll be at least after next season.
Byron's not good. He won't survive that long.
No, but good luck to the Lakers because they're home to Phoenix, home to Charlotte, at Memphis, at New Orleans, home to San Antonio. You see any wins on the schedule? Home to Golden State, at Atlanta, at Houston, at Dallas, home to Denver, home to Memphis, and then Minnesota. That might be a win.
Real quick, talking about my Atlanta Hawks.
Mm-hmm.
Did you hear the promo for opening night that they shot
with the owner?
With the owner and T.I.?
Yeah, I did see that.
Man.
Saturday, November 1st, opening night for the Atlanta Hawks. T.I. is going to be there. Stevie K is going to be there. We need you to be there.
You should be there.
Be there.
Make it your business.
Be there.
Yeah, Hustle Gang over everything.
Hustle Gang's going to be there.
For sure.
For shizzle.
Mm. That was a nice touch.
You like that?
All right.
I tried.
Oh, man. And any franchise, this would be a bad look, but especially for this franchise. The owner is Steve, and this is no exaggeration or joke on his last name, Steve Koonin.
Yeah, that's
with the K, but he's like, in the commercial, like, this is Stevie K with my man T.I. Tell him about the home opener. And you can tell T.I.'s just thrown it in because he got paid. He's like, yeah, that's right, fam. We'll be here at the Phillips Arena. Hustle Gang will be there. And then Steve Kuhn is like, Hustle Gang is in the house for shizzle. Like, yeah, if there's one owner in the league that should not be Koonin, like literally and figuratively, it should be the Hawks owner.
Yeah, I guess he performed, I think, before the game on Saturday, before the home opener.
T.I.?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a smart businessman. And knowing the climate of the Hawks, like if you're somebody who has some stature in that town and you're a celebrity, like I'm not going to say I could see T.I. as the owner, but I could see him getting a little piece of the team if he puts a group together.
I'm not sure you want a convicted felon owning part of your NBA franchise.
Is that any worse than Donald Sterling?
He's not a... Hey, listen, who can vote today, T.I. or Donald Sterling? Donald Sterling can vote. T.I.? Sit your ass on T.I.
Yeah, it's a good thing Obama's not running because we know who Sterling wouldn't vote for.
Yeah.
What? We gave him a White House to live in and food on his table. What more does he want? So that's our NBA, I'd say our review of the week. You know, we're not going to go as far as ESPN and give you the hot takes from the big stories from the opening week of the NBA.
I mean, those are probably the two biggest noteworthy things, the Cavs and the Lakers sucking, because
yeah,
the Lakers...
Also, the Thunder.
Oh, yeah.
And that bench, needs, those bench guys are going to get plenty of experience for the postseason with
about Russ getting
Westbrook
hurt.
And Durant out for the time being.
Yeah. They got Reggie Jackson back on Monday, but... They lost Andre Robertson in the same game. So they're back to eight guys. So that's good. They'd run a real risk of not making the playoffs because when you lose your two best players and when you have a bunch of role guys who are also hurt, like Anthony Morrow, who's out, Reggie Jackson's finally bad. Jeremy Lamb's still not bad. So, I mean, they in the Western Conference, they could be too far in the hole. Or what I fear, or what I think what NBA teams will fear in the West is the Thunder sneak into the playoffs at the 8 seed, and they're healthy. And now you have this team who you know is better than an 8 seed facing the number 1 seed in the West.
That would, I mean, be, that would like, be interesting. We saw Houston do that a few years ago.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, that's kind of like the Celtics when they went on their championship run. They had some guys that were hurt during the season. And, yeah, you know, if you're a veteran team, that actually is, you know, not the worst position to be in. You can get some guys rested up, get some guys healthy. You know you're much better than your seed indicates. And then, you know, you get an easier route to the conference finals. Just because you kind of you're put in this position of, oh, this is an 8 seed, but no, nah, man, that's not 8 seed talent. Russ, KD, healthy, that's not 8 seed talent.
Yeah, if you want to see some tanking going on, you follow that top race. If Oklahoma City is anywhere near that 8 seed, you watch the Clippers and the Spurs and all those guys doing April come around. Ah, we're gonna rest our guys tonight.
Tim Duncan is taking 3 weeks off. What yeah. is going on?
Yeah, no one wants those problems in April.
Yes. So, but if you are the OKC bench, like they got to get a catchy name, like the Bench Mob or Bad Boys or Hustle Gang. Hustle Gang is in the house.
They have no bench. It's the three guys. It's the Walking Dead. They had no one on the bench.
Maybe that should be their name. The Walkers.
Yeah.
Here come the Walkers. They're not especially fast, but they're persistent. They keep coming. So yeah, that's our NBA look. Check in. You know, we'll be doing that as the season progresses. I'm actually excited that the NBA is back.
Yeah, it's a long season. That's probably the only negative that it stretches out. So.
Yeah, best season ever was the year they had. Like 3 years ago.
The strike?
Yeah.
The shortened season?
And the game started on Christmas Day?
Yeah.
Like, that was the best. They should do that every year.
Start on Christmas Day?
Yeah.
It's not a bad idea because I believe this past Thursday
just
with...
play a 62-game season?
Even with the Cavs game, with LeBron returning home, his first game of the season, in the ratings, they didn't beat the Thursday night game, which wasn't a surprise, but they didn't even beat the Florida State game in ratings.
Yeah.
So that shows you that while there's a passionate fan base for the NBA, they're pretty much small potatoes when it comes to football. So why not?
Yeah, that strike season was exciting because it was like a 62-game sprint.
And there were a lot of back-to-back. There was, you know, teams playing three nights in a row and... I'm sure that part wouldn't fly with the players, but I'm sure they wouldn't mind having well, we had that whole debate a couple weeks ago about trying to shorten periods and then possibly shorten the season. So, you know, the owners would lose money, so it's not going to happen.
No, we got to keep Steve Kuhn's pockets fat.
Yeah.
For shizzle. So, that's it for the A block. Segment one is in the books. Coming up next, we're going to talk some football, Marcus. We're going to talk some NFL. We're going to do our picks. Maybe we'll check in on the NCAA Top 10. And we may talk about some off-the-field news, even though I really don't want to.
He's in trouble now.
Yeah, I don't know if he's in trouble, but he took a plea to that.
Yeah.
So, ball's in your court, Goodell. We'll fill you in on that. Coming up, more Kings of Sports right after the break. See me in the city, pretty, no shining dog. Riding with a couple Land Rovers and a China dog. Hey, you know how we ball.
What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
You know about me, dawg. Okay. Don't talk about me, dawg. Okay. And if you doubt me, dawg, okay, you better out me, dawg. Oh. I'm throwed off slightly, bro. Oh. Don't wanna fight me, bro. Oh. I'm fast as lightning, bro. You better use your Nike, bro. Yeah. You know you don't like me, cuz. Yeah. Your people's like me, cuz. Yeah. She see me on the jug. Yeah. In front of every club. Oh.
be on drip on bugs. Gave every hoop a hug. Don't show me mugs, cause don't you know I got shit.
Hustle Gang's gonna be there for Shizzle.
It's time to talk about the sport of kings with the Kings of Sport. It's your Pigskin Preview, your Gridiron Gabfest, and your weekly football focus. It's time for Second Down on the Kings of Sport.
It's the sport of kings, better than diamond rings. That's why we're here to sing football. Sunday in the snow.
We are back on the Kings of Sport, and if you're hearing that music, it must mean one thing. We're about to get into some football talk. It is Second Down, our weekly football fix, where we talk about the world of the NFL, college football, and anything that has to do with the gridiron. And this week, Marcus, we're going to start with some college football. The new top 25 rankings are out, and some interesting moving and shaking going on. You know, the top three spots are pretty much the same, but everything after that, man, you got a lot of one-loss teams that could make a legitimate argument that they belong in the top four.
Yeah, Oregon's currently in that fourth spot, but right behind them is Alabama, who has the best shot of getting in based on their schedule. If they were to run the table from here on out, they would definitely be one of the final four teams. So they do have a tough schedule. I think they have dates with Mississippi State and Auburn still. So it's not going to be a gimme that they – and also LSU this week. So it's no gimme that they run the table.
No, not at all. So let's kind of go through the top 25 really quick. Actually, not the top 25, man. That's going to take too long.
Let's just talk. Top 10 matters, yeah.
Talk about the teams that actually matter. let's see. Here we go. All right. This is live, people. This is live. Sometimes when you hit the button, the link doesn't come up at the moment you hit the button. But here we go. The updated top 25, we got Mississippi State at number one, Florida State number two, Auburn number three, as we mentioned earlier. Oregon, as Marcus alluded to, at number four. Bama at five, TCU at six, Kansas State at seven, Michigan State at eight, the Arizona State Sun Devils at nine, and the Dark Horse.
Oh, stop. Stop.
The Notre Dame Fighting Irish. Just lurking in the shadows.
That's racist. Because they have a black quarterback. They had to be a dark horse. That's so racist.
I thought you'd appreciate that as a Katy Perry fan, the dark horse reference.
How dare you compare or associate Katy Perry with the Fighting Irish? Let's go, Sun Devils.
Out of those teams, Marcus, there's, like we mentioned, there's a lot of one-loss teams, and you could legitimately make an argument effectively for any of those teams saying, you know, hey, we deserve to be in that fourth spot. I really think Alabama, as, you know, we talked about it earlier in the season that Alabama, this was kind of the dynasty dwindling down, but they got a shot, man. And we know that people love Alabama. They love Nick Saban, and they've got a shot. They've got some tough games on the schedule. But
do they love Alabama? I don't think they love Alabama. They love to hate Alabama.
Yeah, they love Alabama as a villain. Like, every good hero needs a good villain, and who's more villainous than Nick Saban?
I don't see them running the table. So, I think one of these games, they have a gimme in between with Western Carolina, the powerhouse that is Western Carolina, but I don't see them beating LSU on the road and Mississippi State and Auburn. So if they do, more power to them. They should be in there for sure. But I think Michigan State still has a chance to backdoor in this thing, because if they can beat Ohio State at home this week, they don't have another ranked opponent, which might hurt them for the rest of the season outside Ohio State. But, you know, that's a solid win for them. And if the teams ahead of them, I don't see TCU and Kansas running the table in the Big 12. And if Alabama were to lose once, that would, you know, probably slide them down some. So I think Michigan State has a chance to really sneak in there as the fourth team.
I'd agree, and I've actually been surprised with how resilient Ohio State's been after that loss to Virginia Tech. Like that seems like ages ago, and watching Virginia Tech in the week since, it's like, how did Ohio State lose to this team?
Oh, I mean, yeah, I remember we're talking about a freshman quarterback in JT Barrett who was playing his second collegiate game. He's developed a lot better than I think most people thought he would since the Virginia Tech game where he went 9-29. He's turned into an adequate quarterback, and he's led this Ohio State team who most people thought once Brad Smiller was out, that'd be it for them. But they've proven that they can that Urban Meyer is actually a halfway decent coach, but I don't see them beating Michigan State on Saturday.
I don't either. I guess the biggest fall in the top 25 was, you know, we had that Mississippi sandwich for a few weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Mississippi State still standing, and Ole Miss now with two losses. I think it's a wrap in terms of their chances of getting into that playoff.
Oh, yeah. It's they had a tough pair of games. And did you see the end of that game against Auburn when the guy got hurt?
No, I was working, but I was getting the updates on the phone, and it was funny because, you know, as we've mentioned a couple times on the show, I was the employee of the month, but football Saturdays and football Sundays, I'll be on my phone all the time in the kitchen. Like, I don't know why. Like, I don't know if they didn't check the camera or what, but it's like, Nate spends an awful lot of time taking out the trash or going to the back to get products because he's always walking offline on Saturdays and Sundays, and I'd be on my phone checking the scores.
Mr. October.
But no, I did not see the end of that game.
Basically, Auburn or Ole Miss had a chance to win it, and their top wide receiver, Laquan Treadwell, was approaching the end zone, and an Auburn defender managed to tackle him from behind. And in the process, not only did he fumble right at the goal line, but he ended up breaking his ankle, I believe. He snapped it back. It was not pretty. And that was the ball game. The guy fumbled at the goal line. Auburn recovered, and that was it. So they were that close to beating Auburn last Saturday. So yeah, now their top receiver's out. They've had two losses, and at best they're probably a spoiler against Ole Miss, and not Ole Miss, Mississippi State in the Egg Bowl. But that's about it.
Yeah, that's like the literal definition of adding insult to injury.
Yeah.
So that's crazy. The funny thing, and then we always got to talk about Jameis at least once a week, man. Florida State. He was looking real suspect for a little while, but they managed to come back and put away the game last week. But Jameis is not right physically, and that's a big thing for me because as much as people want to, you know, denigrate him off the field, and a lot of that is because of his own doing, on the field you couldn't be able to touch this kid. But now with a bum wheel, that puts Florida State's record in jeopardy.
It does, but I mean, their schedule is pretty easy coming out the rest of the season. Their probably toughest game is going to be at Miami next weekend. But Miami's not the Miami that people associate with the Hurricanes. So if they can't win, they have three home games left, Virginia, BC, and Florida, and they go to at Miami. If they can't run the table with a 80% Jameis Winston, then, you know, don't know what to tell you, Florida State.
Yeah, they should be able to run the table. The interesting thing for me will be, you know, where they're slotted, because I think there's a lot of people that kind of feel Marcus, and maybe the schedule has something to do with it, maybe the Jameis hates has something to do with it, but there's a lot of people that wouldn't be at all upset about Florida State dropping out of the top four.
It's going to be hard. I mean, the longer they remain undefeated and the more we have these one-loss teams, it's going to be hard to make the case. I know we talked about a couple weeks ago about a scenario where Florida State was on the outside looking in, but it's going to be tough to justify them at this point now. Do you think it's going to happen? I don't see a two-loss team doing it, but a one-loss team like an Alabama?
Yeah, Bama is one of the ones that I would look at, and maybe that dark horse that is Notre Dame, even though they lost head to head. But Florida State should run the table, and it should be no question. Like we talked about a couple weeks ago, like I understand that they didn't play the toughest schedule, and I understand you feel some type of way about that quarterback, but you've got an undefeated team who is the defending national champion. There's no way that they shouldn't be in that top four.
Yeah, I mean, they're at number two at the moment. I don't see them falling too much further down if they, even with their soft schedule the rest of the way, I don't see them falling a whole lot further than four, let alone five.
And for all we know, Mississippi State could catch a loss here in the last few weeks. Like people that are on this bandwagon, like Mississippi State is not a lock to go undefeated.
No, they did have to do Alabama and at Ole Miss. Those are two tough games for sure.
So like things could be really interesting, and I'm kind of, and I never do this, Marcus. Like you can mark the date, and we can play this back for posterity. I never root for Nick Saban, but I kind of hope Alabama wins that game because I kind of want to see Alabama and FSU in the championship game.
You root for Notre Dame and Nick Saban? Who are you?
I don't know what's happened to me lately. You know,
you're awfully mean. You gotta pick one. You can't root for both evils.
You know, maybe in my old age, I'm starting to root for villains. I'm starting
that's
to root
right. When Arizona State wins this week, then you'll give up on the Irish. So you can move on to Nick Saban.
We'll talk about the Irish a little bit later because there is one player that I guess I am rooting for in a sense. But let's switch to the NFL real quick, Marcus. And the big news this week, once again, centers around off-the-field issues as Adrian Peterson has kind of come to a conclusion with his legal battles, at least for the time being.
Yeah, it's a done deal. He pleaded down to a misdemeanor for his case involving his young child where he was accused of spanking him. So now the ball is in Roger Goodell's court, and I'm curious to see what the NFL does now that the case is wrapped up and he's pleaded out. How many games will he get suspended for a misdemeanor?
It's interesting because, you know, we've got the new policy in place, but at the same time, he's already served, what, an 8-game suspension? Or not a suspension, but, you know, he hasn't allowed to play.
I mean, it's time served. I mean, he's missed 10 games. Or no, he's missed...
I think it was like 8 or 9.
Yeah.
Like on the what was it, the special exemption list, or whatever he calls it?
Yeah, the commissioner, whatever. The made-up left state started.
The Roger Goodell, if you get jammed up, don't mention my name list.
Yeah.
So, like, he's already served at least 8 games. You know, it's like, I understand fining him, and maybe you want to sit him out one more game, but it's like, come on, man. Like, we've got people that have done far worse that have been back on the field quicker than this guy.
Yeah, and I don't see the public making a big deal if Goodell were to say he can play right away. Because you mentioned he's done his time. He did get paid during his suspension or whatever you want to call it.
He might have to give some of that back as part of the deal.
Yeah, it's going to be small potatoes. I mean, I'm sure there's a limit on how much the commissioner can fine these guys. So it's not going to make a huge dent for AP, who's been paid, let's see, nearly $5.3 million in his absence.
Mm.
Yeah, so I would expect it. It's already Wednesday, or is it Tuesday? Haha. see what I did there? I would expect something at least by next week where we know when he's coming back.
Yeah, John Pollock would be proud of that.
I know.
What day is it? Maybe it's Friday. And we're podcasting from the future. But yeah, I think there's two questions here, Marcus. You got the Goodell question, but you've also got the Minnesota Vikings Ziggy Wolf question. Like, do they want this guy back? Obviously, he's a talent on the football field, one of the best players in the league. But do they need those problems right now? Do you think this might be a situation where they're like, hey, we love you, AD, but we're gonna let you slide to the side for the rest of the season. And in that case, doesn't Adrian have a grievance that he could file with the players union?
He probably won't have a grievance if they pay him to sit home. I mean,
yeah,
he's keep getting them checks, young fella. But I, you know, they're 4-5. They're not out of the NFC North race just yet, so it would make sense for Minnesota to bring this guy back. I mean, listen, we were talking about, I think last week, with the Ray Rice and the blackface. You know, I didn't see any Adrian Peterson costumes with, you know, him dragging a young baby around. So yeah. I think the public reaction is a little different than the Ray Rice situation, where that is still a hot topic issue. I think Peterson has sort of, you know, people understand, because there's a large number of people who spank their kids. There's not a large number. Well, there are a large number of kids, unfortunately, or not a large number of people who do, you know, beat their wives. But that is not something that is acceptable in society. I mean, we can have the debate about spanking, and you know, you're not going to be judged or considered a criminal for spanking your kid. So I think he'll be all right.
Yeah, Adrian Peterson's crime is a little bit more palatable,
yeah,
because it's not like he did something super extreme or super crazy. He did something that a lot of parents can identify with, but he went too far.
Yeah.
Whereas Ray Rice, like, there's no justifiable reason
no.
for what he did. You know, with Adrian, it's like...
And yeah, it's also on tape. If the Peterson thing was on tape, that'd be a little different.
That is a good point, because, like, cameras, in a sense, are the best thing that has happened in the last 10, 15 years, but in some cases, I think that it gives people more voice for their opinions, where it's like, come on, man, you don't know what's going on in these situations a lot of the time. Even if we have video, it doesn't let us know what was going on prior to or following that situation. Like Ray Rice, to me, like, I think he's done. I think he, yeah, you know, even part of that is because I think he was getting ready to be done as a player. Like, he had maybe what, 3 or 4 good years left.
But that's still a long time.
Yeah, but I he wasn't Ray Rice that he was. Whereas Adrian Peterson, I think he's still in the prime of his career. And he came out and, you know, made his statement. He was contrite. You know, it's about me and my son and my family. We're trying to, you know, make this better. And I don't know how much was really there, Adrian Peterson, and how much was Adrian Peterson's publicist writing that. But, you know, that's what America wants, which is kind of funny. It doesn't matter if you actually change. Just look like you're changing. That's what the public wants.
Yeah.
So, what's your gut feeling, Marcus? Do you think we'll see him on the field anytime this season, or do you think that we won't see him again until next year?
Oh, Peterson?
Yeah.
I'd say we see him back. They have a bye week, so I would say after the bye week on the 16th, he's back.
That is good timing, though, because that bye week, like, you can reinstate him this week and then let all the hubbub take place during the bye week, and then by the time the actual game rolls around, you'll have some people that will want to make a fuss, but for the most part, people will move on to the next story.
Yeah.
That's a really good observation. I agree. I think Adrian Peterson is going to suit up again. I don't know whether long-term his future is with that organization, though, but I do think he'll be back this season. So that leads us, I guess we gave the odds on Adrian Peterson coming back. Now it's time to do some odds on football games. How you like that pivot?
Too many steps. It was a traveling.
No, that was the Euro step. That's the LeBron right there.
Okay, you put a James Harden in.
Yeah. let's go to our NFL picks contest, which we do each and every week. Marcus and I, we challenge each other to see who is the superior pigskin prognosticator. And Marcus, before we talk about this week's games, can you give us an update on last week and the season standings?
Last week, week 9, Nate Milton, 2-3. Mr. Money in the Bank, 4-1 right here.
Well.
So for the season, I'm 27-18, and Nate, you're 24-21.
I'm just setting you up, man. Got you right where I want you.
Listen, man, I've been making picks since like elementary school. My mom used to be in her odd job had a pits thing. She would give it to me. I would make the pits for her.
So that's how you became a degenerate gambler.
Yeah.
I get it from my mama.
Yeah, well, you know.
And you got the wedding coming up in Vegas.
Yeah, I got another Vegas trip coming this month.
So you got another Vegas trip before the end of the year?
Oh, yeah. We have to do the, we're doing the food tasting and the cake tasting.
Okay. That's a good excuse for you to slip into the casino.
I told you, I haven't gambled since I proposed in February.
She made an honest man out of you?
Nah, weddings are expensive, man.
Okay. I feel you on it.
No, she doesn't mind me gambling, but, you know, got a wedding to pay for. Priorities.
Okay. I didn't want this to become like one of them Tyler Perry black plays where the good dude just falls into the pit of iniquity.
Oh, no.
And the woman is like, Marcus, this family needs you.
Nah, if that's the case, we wouldn't get married in Vegas.
I'm going to need you to come home and stop gambling on the Saints in the Superdome. But anyway, let's hit our picks up this week. As we do each and every week, we pick four of the Sunday games and the Monday night game. We are on week 10 of the NFL season. Where's the time gone, Marcus?
I know. It's wow, that was fast.
Yeah. We're getting close to that stretch drive. Thanksgiving games are coming up. Yeah,
it's over.
It's over for a lot of teams, Jets and Falcons included.
Yeah.
So let's start the picks with a team that is not out of it, at least not yet, and that is the Pittsburgh Steelers, Big Ben, and the Steelers looking like, I don't know, man, look like he found that fountain of youth. They head to New York to take on, or New Jersey, to take on Marcus Vandenberg's New York Jets. What's the line?
Steelers minus 6.5.
Huh. Thought it'd be more.
It is a road game. Come on, show some respect.
And Mike Vick, maybe he'll have this tender moment with fellow Hampton Roads alumnus Mike Tomlin on the sideline like he had with Andy Reid. Did you see that during the Jets-Chiefs last week?
Yeah.
That was like I know the Jets fans hated that, but I, as a somebody that's followed Mike Vick's career, I was just like, oh, isn't that sweet? He like, hey, man, I appreciate you, Andy. I appreciate you too, Mike. So I think right there, basically he negotiated a contract to be the Chiefs backup next year because he ain't sticking around with the Jets.
That's okay. We don't want him.
Yeah, you're getting Jameis.
Nope.
So let's see. Steelers, Jets. You know what, Marcus? I'm going to go with the Jets.
Man, I think the Jets have covered only once this season.
I believe in Vic.
Listen, Vic can't play cornerback. That's a problem.
What was the one? They had one touchdown last week. Was that when a guy fell down in the end zone?
Yeah, we don't want to talk about that.
He missed the block and ended up with a touchdown. Fasano, yeah. Former Notre Dame tight end. Missed the block and ended up with a touchdown. And that's the Jets season in a nutshell.
It's the Jets franchise in a nutshell.
So you going with Pittsburgh?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Come on. Big Ben, he said touchdowns back-to-back games now.
Big Ben has been on fire.
Yeah.
Let's go with another team that has been, I don't know if they've been on fire, but they've been pretty good lately. Miami Dolphins and Ryan Tannehill going to Detroit to take on the Lions and the returning Megatron, Calvin Johnson. What's the line?
This one's a bit of a surprise. Detroit minus six.
Hmm. Dolphins have looked pretty good lately, man. Right, Tannehill, and I thought they might win the Chargers game last week, but I didn't think it was going to be a beat-em-down situation.
Yeah, that was impressive.
Like they might be for real. And the only problem is they're in the division with the Patriots, who have suddenly kind of gotten back on the right track. Who you got in this one?
I'm taking the Dolphins.
You taking the Dolphins?
Yep.
Since I am the Zaxby's Employee of the Month, and Zaxby's spokesperson for the next few months is Calvin Johnson, you can get a delicious game day filet shad with your local Zaxby's. I'm going with the Detroit Lions.
Wait, did they have Zaxby's in Detroit?
I don't think so. I think the furthest north we are is in D.C., and the furthest west is, like, Mississippi.
But you got them in, like, Georgia Tech area, right? Atlanta?
Yeah, Atlanta's okay. Like the – that's like the – the home base.
Yeah, maybe that's why Calvin Johnson is the...
Probably, yeah, because they probably had a relationship from college.
Roman Reigns, Georgia Tech, get on that. Believe that, Zaxby's. Come on.
Nah, yeah, I want to see Roman Reigns doing a promo. this chicken is really good. It make me feel like a main eventer. Believe that. Like, no thanks, Roman. All right, so you got the Dolphins, I got the Lions in that one. Next game, two teams that are, I don't know, both teams are underperforming. The Seahawks definitely are, and the Giants. Maybe the Giants are just being the Giants. But,
Giants just suck.
You got the Giants headed to Seattle. What's the line on that?
Seattle minus 9.5.
Really?
Yeah.
They are a good home team, and New York is... I don't know about me. Like, I was talking with a buddy of mine about the Giants. He's a Giants fan. It's like, Eli Manning is kind of like, he's us. He's every one of us. Like, he has average days at work. He has bad days at work. Occasionally, he has really, really good days at work. But he's just like, if you and me suited up and we had decent athletic ability, we'd be Eli Manning in the NFL. Like, we wouldn't be Peyton. We wouldn't be Brady, Aaron Rodgers. We beat Eli. Like, sometimes we good, sometimes we suck. You never know.
I want to be Peyton.
you just want to run a Papa John's franchise.
Omaha.
That's a lot of points, though, man.
Did you see him on Monday against Andrew Luck?
Against the Colts, yeah. but it's not like the Seahawks have been setting the world on fire either.
That's true.
So you know what? I'm going to go with the sneaky pick, and I'm going to stick with Eli. I'm going to ride with Eli for 1 week. I'm going with the Giants.
I'm going with the Seahawks.
Okay. I like that we're picking different picks, you know, because it's going to make my comeback all that much more all that much more effective. Next game we're going to pick is, since we picked on Marcus's Jets, we'll go and pick on my Falcons in a game that they should win. The Falcons head to Tampa Bay to take on poor Lovie Smith and the Bucks.
Oh, man. Atlanta minus 1.5.
Really? That's it?
That's it. Have you seen the 2-6?
Have you seen the Bucks, though? The Bucks
have you seen the Falcons on the road? Did we not forget that the Falcons' last game was a choke job?
Hey man, it was a time zone. They had jet lag going to England.
Nah.
But you give, I'm going to be like Poppy on Highly Questionable. But tonight, you give Matt Ryan and Mike Smith 1 week to prepare, and they still might lose.
By the way, the Bucs are winless at home. The Falcons are winless away from the Georgia Dome. So someone's got to win.
Maybe we get a tie.
Oh, we could. That means... the Falcons wouldn't cover either.
Yeah, maybe we get a tie in this one. I feel bad for Lovie Smith, though. Like, he's better than this. This team is garbage.
And by the way, Josh McCown is starting this week for Tampa Bay. He got a shot back.
So Glennon, yeah, I guess the Glennon experiment.
Yeah, it's over.
I mean, that changes things. You bring Josh McCown back in, that's a prime time player. But I'm still going to go with Atlanta. I'm not going to sell out my team like you did, Marcus.
Wow. going to Tampa Bay.
Okay. And then we'll see that. That'll be the worst game in the history of football. It'll be like a 6-6 tie. Let's see. So those are four Sunday games. We got a big-time Monday night game with the Panthers taking on the Eagles and Mark Sanchez.
Yeah.
What's going on there, Marcus? What's going on with your boy?
He's back.
Is he really, though? Two touchdowns, two interceptions. Is he really?
He's back. He's assistant quarterback now. He'll be fine.
I mean, he does have a ton of weapons.
Yeah, he does. And he never had that. He never had weapons before, period. So,
yeah.
And I mean, considering we got to the AFC title game twice with those teams.
Like, who did he have? Did he have, was it San Antonio?
Yeah, it's Antonio Moss. He had an aging, he had Tomlinson, who was over 30 at that point. He had Dustin Keller, who's now out of football, I believe.
Yeah.
Is that injury? Jack Rotatri, I believe. This is pre-Santonio Holmes. So, yeah, he didn't really have any.
Didn't he have Brad Smith?
Smith. Yeah, so. Not exactly Jimmy Macklin or even Riley Cooper, to be honest, so.
No.
Or Shady McCoy.
Well, this is an interesting game because they've taken on a Panthers team that they should have beaten Seattle a couple weeks ago. And then last week they ran into a Saints team that had a pretty healthy Jimmy Graham.
No. Let's make excuses for Cam Newton looking like shit. He looked terrible.
Hey, man, give him some time, Marcus. Give him some time.
How much time does he need?
You know, Cam, he doesn't have a lot to work with, Marcus. He doesn't have a lot of weapons.
Give me Andrew Luck over Cam Newton.
What's he got? He's got Benjamin. That's the only guy he's got?
Yes.
So, you know, hey, I'm just saying, this is not even a black quarterback thing, Marcus. I'm just saying, if we make excuses for Tom Brady, why can't we make them for Cam?
Those excuses have ended for Tom Brady. He's made the most of his Brandon LaFell situation.
Well, that's because
former Cam Newton wide receiver.
He's got Gronk back. Gronk makes everything good. Who's Gronk on the Carolina Panthers? Greg Olsen.
Greg Olsen's he's a serviceable tight end.
Yeah.
And the running game is pretty much, well, the Panthers running game has been injured. And the Patriots lost Ridley for the year, so. Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of things going on with the Panthers.
But, you know, when you're comparing Bill Belichick to Riverboat Ron.
And as bad as Carolina is, they still got a shot in that terrible division.
No, they don't. Saints are going to wrap this up.
And the Saints are like, what, one game ahead? 4-4?
I guess technically two, because they have the 1-1 ahead of them.
Yeah, the Panthers 3-5-1.
Yeah, but the Saints' schedule is going to get. They have three straight home games coming up. Niners, Bengals, and Ravens. Those are all tough, but they're at least home where they perform a lot better than the road.
Well, I'm not cheering for the Saints to lose because I need Drew Brees and Jimmy Graham as we get into the deep weeks of fantasy football. But
oh, by the way, we play each other this week.
Yeah, I believe I'm predicted to win this week.
Yeah, you are.
That's what all the prognosticators are saying. So, this is a game for second place, I believe, because I think you're in second and I'm in third.
Yeah.
So, yeah, this is a big-time matchup. So, hopefully, Franchise loses this week so I can gain some ground. And, yeah, so far I'm the only one that's put an L on him.
Yeah, that's it. Huh.
And he traded for Tom Brady this week, which is funny because, like, remember 4 weeks ago when everybody was like, Tom Brady is garbage and, like, Nate, you're never going to get proper value for that trade? Now he's a desirable commodity.
Mm-hmm.
But back to the Panthers and the Eagles. What's the spread on that?
Let's see here. It is Eagles minus six.
Philly coming in at 6-2. Carolina, as we mentioned, 3-5-1. Games at the link. Mark Sanchez behind center for the Philadelphia Eagles. I'll let you go first, Marcus. So are you going to ride with your former starting QB?
E-A-G-L-E-S, Eagles.
And as much as I like Cam Newton, I think the lack of success is due in part to the lack of offensive weapons. The other thing people aren't talking about, that defense is not as good as it was last year.
No, it's not.
So, you know, it's one thing if you can't score, but it's another thing if you're letting other teams score, you know, 20 points a game. Which that last year they were manhandling teams and keeping those scores low. So, I like Ron Rivera. You know, shout out to our Latinos out there. He's the real minority, not like Mark Arrow.
Oh.
Which we're going to talk about next segment. But I'm going to go with Marcus and go with Philly on this one. We'll agree on this one.
All right, Eagles.
So those are our picks. You can check those out each and every week, see the results, and you know, you gotta let us know. Are you team Marcus or team Nate? Because you know, I think Marcus has the advantage right now, but I'm just setting him up for the comeback, man.
Listen, last 4 weeks, I'm 15-5. I'm making you money here.
I think I've been 2-3 like every week.
The last three of the last 4 weeks, you've been 2-3.
That's consistency right there, people.
Consistently bad. Consistently losing your money, people.
It depends on how much you wager on each specific game.
That's a crapshoot to know which ones are going to hit and which ones aren't. There's no lock of the weeds on this segment.
Yeah, that's the stone cold lead pipe lock of the century.
Of the week.
That's going to do it for Second Down. But coming up next, Marcus, I think it's time to start talking wrestling again.
Do we have to?
I think there's been some things that have happened in the last week or so with the network and with certain characters. Man, it's a new day in the WWE. Yeah. So, stick and stay. We got more Kings of Sport coming up right after the break.
Consideration paid for by the following.
What's up, everybody? This is Kevin Kelly from Ring of Honor Wrestling. Make sure you check out the Kevin Kelly Show each and every week. PlaceToBeNation.com. We'll be talking about wrestling in the past and wrestling today. Plus, we'll be talking about all kinds of sports and pop culture. Whatever's on your mind, too, we'll answer your questions each and every week. The Kevin Kelly Show, right here, PlaceToBeNation.com.
Something. It's time to forget about the past. I see. said that it's time to look to the future. I said that it's time to feel good. Because this.
We are back on the King for Sport, Marcus and Nate holding things down, and as you can tell by the music, it is a new day. Yes, a brand new day. It's a new day, Marcus, but the same old shit.
Man, I thought we were done with this. I thought we were out of the woods, no pun intended, with the racial black character that is just over the top and stereotypical, but no, we're back at it again.
Again. And for those of you that haven't seen the clip, the music that we played to come back into the segment was a vignette that debuted on Raw last night, and it featured Xavier Woods, who the last time we saw him, he was getting together a group, a faction, a stable, a blaction, if you will, with Kofi Kingston and Biggie Langston that just kind of disappeared into the ether.
Negro Lucian,
yes, I guess it was a mystery. And now Xavier Woods is back, and he's kind of this, he's got a black choir, and he's doing this kind of hybrid Kirk Franklin, James Brown, gospel, motivational speaker, R&B, dancer, shucking and jiving, just updated for a new millennium.
I was trying to think of what makes me upset about this stuff, and I was trying to think back to like the 90s, and for some reason, Mark Mero came to mind. In WCW, he played pretty much Johnny B. Bad, or... Well, not Johnny Bad. That was his character name. What was the...
Little Richard.
Little Richard. What I don't remember, though, are WCW putting out these promos or vignettes sort of hyping his debut. From what I can remember, he just showed up one week and he was Johnny B. Bad. And
yeah,
you understood that his gimmick was Little Richard, but they didn't really shove it down your throat or give you this extra ammunition. You know, he was, you know, fine in the ring. He was a great wrestler in the ring.
It took me a while to realize he wasn't actually a black dude, man.
Ooh, what is he?
Mark Mero, he's like Italian.
What?
Yes, Mark Mero is Italian. That's how good Johnny B. Bad was as a character. We let this dude get up there with blackface on, man. I mean, that was his real skin tone, but he was basically playing Little Richard even though he was Italian.
What?
Yeah, I'm about to Wikipedia. Go ahead. I'll effort this.
Oh, this is just ruined my day. Italian.
You're like, Mark,
he's not even half. He's got to be half.
He may be half. Let's see.
Quarter, something.
Nisifi. All right.
Oh, well, he played hockey. He's not black.
Oh, here it is. He's white. He's white, but you know the mixture of white is just hilarious. He's Jewish and Italian.
That's it?
Yeah.
No black.
No black. But he played the hell out of Johnny B. Bad.
Damn.
Like I thought he was black up until like I'd say about 5 years ago, because he's a motivational speaker now, and somebody sent it to me, and he does like a Christian motivational speaking, and he was really good, and I'm like, hold on, like he's I was like, that brother, but then I'm looking and I'm like, the church he's speaking to is all white, so I'm like, wait a second here, and then I go in the comments and somebody's like, wow, Mark, you're a great inspiration. It trips me out. I always thought you were a brother. And that's what led me down the rabbit hole to find out that Mark Mero is an Italian Jew from Brooklyn.
All right, so I'm looking at a current picture, actually, with him and Gunner, of all people.
Wow.
He's not on that Sammy Sosa, but He was definitely tan.
Yeah, he's a little lighter. Yeah.
He's a lot lighter than he was in the ring. So yeah, now I definitely see it. Oh yeah, he's wow, he doesn't look black at all in this pictures.
Ah, that's the disc that don't miss.
Wow. Well, no wonder Sable married him.
You just thought he was light skinned.
I thought he was like half something.
He thought he was one of you.
Man.
Like, all these years, he done came to the meetings for free. But yeah, Johnny B. Bad, a.k.a. Mark Mero, not a brother. Not even a little bit.
What was the point? Oh, so yes. this doesn't help my argument about WCW doing the racial promos.
Yeah, is Johnny B. Bad more offensive than Xavier Woods? I still have to lean towards, I go with the dude playing up the stereotype in Mark Mero that's not really black than the actual black guy with a PhD acting a damn fool.
Yeah, that's the other thing, too. I mean, this dude's probably the smartest guy in the locker room. He's working on his PhD, and he is now forced to play a character that will not get over with the majority of the audience, because let's be real, the audience is not majority minority, and then the minority audience is probably like, "Fuck this! Like, what are you doing?" So,
and we've already got it. We've already got one of these. We got Truth.
Yeah,
we don't need another one.
And to his credit, he's made it work for years now.
The Truth, yeah. And like Vince, I know you like the dancing, shucking, and jiving brothers. You got one. You got one that does it really well. And gets over.
Yeah.
And Woods is not the guy for this role. It's like I couldn't believe it when I saw it. It's like, you know, all of the, this guy is, he's been with the company what, 3 years now? Maybe four?
Let's see. I forgot he was in TNA, jeez.
But he's like he's had failed gimmick after failed gimmick. First he was with the Funkadactyls. Then he was Lionel Richie. Then he had the Black Faction that disappeared, and now he's Kirk Franklin / James Brown / Ernest the Cat Miller.
Yeah.
Like, do better. Like God, I'm gonna need you to next time you talk to Stephanie McMahon, I'm gonna need you to be like, "What the hell is up with this? Why are all the brothers getting these stupid gimmicks?"
I think they, I mean, looking back at it, they should have stuck with the Kofi.
The Faction?
Big E Faction, yeah.
Yeah.
Because they seem like they actually hang out outside of the... Huh?
As I was saying, the other guys, you're not using them anyway.
No, you're not at all. I mean, when's the last time you seen Kofi on TV?
It's been a while. And I think Big E was on maybe a month or two ago, and he got squashed by Rusev.
Yeah. It sucks for those guys.
Like, this is the... It's times like this where, you know, I wish, you know, TNA or ROH or, you know, AAA or GFW were more viable alternatives, because it's like the only reason these guys are there is because they have to be. Because what's the alternative?
A smaller paycheck somewhere else.
Yeah. So, I mean, I like it. It seems to me like, and there's nothing wrong, I know people out there are wrestling fans and listen to the show, and they're like, it's just a gimmick. There's nothing wrong with stupid gimmicks, but you don't have to treat them as a joke, if that makes any sense. Like, Rusev's gimmick, if you break it down, is pretty silly. But they treat the character with respect, which is something that we don't get with Xavier Woods or Big E or, you know, Kofi. Like, the only brother that they treat with a modicum of dignity on this show is Mark Henry.
Only, but that's only after years of disrespect.
Yeah, you're right. It's a good point.
And so, by the way, and just going back to those three guys, all three college educated. All three graduated from college. You know, college is not something that you find that often. I mean, there's a lot of guys in the locker room who have graduated from college, but considering all three of those guys are pretty smart, they all graduated from school, and they got into this industry for what? To to A, will not wrestle at the moment. That's yeah. But when they were wrestling, I mean, they were always stuck with these gimmicks that never
Titus,
got them to.
Titus is a graduate too, isn't he?
From University of Florida, yeah.
Yeah, and that's another guy. And you think that I can understand Kofi and Xavier Woods not getting over in Vince's eyes, but Titus or Big E, like, those are guys that have the physical makeup that would lend itself to success in the WWE.
Yeah, I'm surprised Titus hasn't done more.
And, I mean, he can talk.
Yeah, he's funny on the mic.
Yeah, like, I don't understand why, you know, these guys don't, you know, the mid-card in general sucks in the WWE right now, but it's even worse if you're a mid-card minority.
Or Zack Ryder.
Or Zack Ryder. Well, the funniest thing was he had a tweet that the internet championships in WWE 2K15, but he's not.
Yeah.
That's painful right there. Maybe he'll be a downloadable character.
So, yeah, it's we'll see how long they stick with this gimmick. You know, it could be just a couple weeks and then they decide this is not working.
Yeah, but, he'll disappear again.
Yeah, so.
It's like Vince has a, you know, the, you know how they used to do the spin the wheel for Raw in Vegas?
Mm-hmm.
Different matches. He's got one in the back for black gimmicks. It's like preacher, rapper, street thug, shucking and jiving, and miscellaneous savage. Like, what's he going to be this week? Oh, good luck, Xavier. You're going to be a shucker and jiver.
I'd rather him be a miscellaneous savage at this point.
Like, seriously, why couldn't you just have him be like a black version of Damian Sandow? You know, somebody that actually has an education and can put a sentence together and do that. Like, that's easy. That writes itself. Like, who gets more heat? Like, the intellectual worker gets heat in general, but who would get more heat than the black intellectual?
The black genius.
The black genius. Like, who would get more heat? That's a villain right there. We've seen it with our president. That's a villain for a lot of country. The smart brother that knows he's the smart brother.
Using big words.
Being all uppity and stuff.
He speaks so well.
Yeah, that's like, come on. That's, I'm giving you free gimmicks here, Vince. So, speaking of free, it's a good time to subscribe to the WWE Network, I hear, Marcus.
That's what I hear, but I'm paying. My month isn't free, so for the rest of you, enjoy it, but I'm still paying $10.
Well, at least you're not one of the many that canceled the subscription. The numbers came out. Was it last week? The network?
Yeah, last week.
And they were not good at all. At all.
Yeah, I've been a subscriber since day one. I mean, $10 isn't going to break the bank for me, so I don't really think about it. It's worth it. I mean, when you consider the pay-per-views alone, it's worth the $10. I do have some gripes with the network, mostly to do with the interface. There's no, like Netflix, you can go on, you can pause something, you can come back, it'll resume. There's none of that options for, at least on the iPad or Apple TV. So if you're watching the pay-per-view, you're hour in, and you decide to watch something else, and you go back, you have to start from the beginning. And, you know, simple stuff like that, that should have been launched from day one. So that's my biggest gripe. And, you know, honestly, I just don't have a lot of time to watch a lot of the content on there. So there's a lot of content. There's too much content, I think. So it's almost overwhelming at times when I go on there and I don't know what to watch. And I'll just sort of browse through and see what catches my eye. But in terms of, like, the live streaming itself, I've never had any issues with pay-per-views or live events. So that part has been great. But for some reason, people aren't really into the network.
Well, yeah, I think it's a combination of things. I think, one, there's still, at least in the States, a technology hurdle where I think that, you know, you've got a lot of young fans that are technologically savvy, but you've also got, you know, fans that are closer to my age and older that, you know, may not be as comfortable with the process of, you know, taking the picture from the laptop or from the phone and putting it on TV. You've also got just the fan base in general is not as strong as it was. Like, I think this is a concept that if we had the capabilities to do something like this back in the 90s, this would have been through the roof. I think you've also got, you know, this, the service itself is actually really good. It's worth the value. You know, the content is good. I actually signed up, so I'm getting my free month. And I know some of you are saying, Nate, didn't you already subscribe once? And my answer to that would be, yes, maybe Nate Milton signed up, but Ricky Witherspoon didn't. And maybe it's a coincidence Ricky Witherspoon is in the same apartment complex as Nate Milton, but I'll never tell.
Mr. October.
Hey, you don't get to be employee of the month by not taking advantage of all the opportunities in life. But, you know, I think that another part of it, and I don't know in terms of just the fan base, it seems like the hardcore fans are being inundated with the shilling, and to me that's a turnoff when I turn on the product. And it's almost like you should be doing the hard sell to people outside of the wrestling bubble, because the truth is you probably maxed out the number of subscribers you can get in America that watch you on a regular basis.
Yeah, I think that they're, what, around 700,000. And that includes international subscribers as well. So I don't see that number getting much bigger. I think that they should take the UFC Fight Pass approach and start streaming different organizations that are not considered competition on the level. So some of the indie organizations, maybe. I don't see ROH getting into bed with them. But even like we've seen with the announcement with New Japan this week and how Global Force is going to air the pay-per-view on January in English. Something like that where you have to really expand outside of your WWE bubble. And if you want to be really the online subscription service for wrestling fans in general, then you need to open up and try to do different things that will attract maybe not the WWE fan, but someone who's more invested into the independent scene. So it doesn't help that they didn't have a guy who was, you know, that Perkins Miller left, who was running programming, I believe, or he was one of the big executives who helped get the network started. He left right after the network launched in April. And it wasn't until last month when they hired someone to really take that spot. So, you know, hopefully with some new leadership and they'll have more direction in terms of not only how they program this thing, but how they roll out content as well.
Well, the crazy thing is, you know, you're in the midst of, you know, doing the hard sell on this network, but you're also going through a lot of cost-cutting measures.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, you know, you're robbing Peter to pay Paul in a sense where, you know, I think this is a good product, but I also think in a way it's maybe a year or two ahead of schedule in terms of, you know, the appetite and also the technological hurdles in terms of just making it easier for everybody to access it. Like if this came out in 2015 or 2016, I think you may see a different response than we are seeing right now.
Yeah. And until then, they just have to eat those costs. And I don't see the network going away. Like, you know,
the other thing is, though, like the one fan base that is ravenous for this stuff, they keep screwing them over. And, you know, the people out in the UK, they keep screwing them. Like, they, you know, America loves the WWE, but they love the WWE.
Look, they even love TNA. So, you know, that's how you know they're TNA. Serious. Yeah.
They made Magnus a star for 3 weeks. So if they are that into wrestling, you know, and well, they had the thing where it was supposed to launch this week and now it's delayed. And you know, I'm sure when it comes back online over there or when it's available over there, people will buy it. But you get to a point where you burn somebody so many times. They're like, you know what? Screw you. I don't care if it's $10 or whatever. You know, I'm not going to give you my money because I'm, you know, you did me dirty too many times.
Well, you know where Raw is next week, right?
Oh yeah.
So.
And how is that going to go over there? Because you know they're going to do a lot of shilling for the network on the show.
Oh, I don't. I would
in front of people. That's like what's the old Eddie Murphy joke when the kids had McDonald's and he had the house burger. Mm-hmm. We got McDonald's. We got McDonald's. And you sitting there with the big greasy house burger, and that's how it is. They're like $9.99, $9.99. You got people in England like, what the hell?
No, they're smart enough not to do that. I think. The last time they were over there, they had Hogan, I believe, who made the announcement that it was coming. But I think anything they do will be pre-taped. It will be nothing live. It will be no shilling about the price on air. They don't want to do that.
I hope they're smarter than that.
I think they are.
Oh, maybe they'll have, instead of Hogan this time, they'll have Xavier Woods come out. A new network is coming.
Or just have Wade Barrett come out.
Yeah, where's he been?
He's hurt still.
Oh, yeah. And I hate to say it, Marcus, but perhaps the most interesting person on their television the past couple weeks is now stepping out for a little bit.
Randy Orton? Yeah.
Yes. Going to shoot what, Condemned Part 2?
Yeah, that's right. I didn't know there was a Part 1.
Yeah, the first one was with Austin, wasn't it?
Oh, I don't watch any of the movies.
Yeah, the first one, because it was all these criminals on an island, and Stone Cold was a criminal. It was like, whoever can escape the island gets the money or whatever. One of those type of movies. Hmm. And now they got a sequel coming out, The Condemned 2, / Desert Prey, starring Randy Orton. So I guess it's going to be The Condemned in the Desert.
Hmm.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's like he's literally the most talked about guy on that roster right now with the social media stuff and all that and the memes popping up about the RKO from out of nowhere. Like, and that Survivor Series is going to be in St. Louis. It's like, oh, this is... Everything's setting up for this guy to have this big babyface run, at least in the short term.
Yeah, I think he'll be bad for the Survivor Series, I think. I mean, it's a Sunday. You can get a day off filming. It's your movie, for God's sakes.
He can take a week off. Ain't nobody going to see The Condemned 2.
Yeah.
Come on, man.
By the way, just go back to the black dresses for a second. There's a thread on Reddit, basically a guy just venting about what we were talking about earlier. And he went through the roster of the male black wrestlers. Big E disappeared. Kofi Kingston disappeared. Mark Henry, mid-card feud with Big Show. R-Truth disappeared. Titus, big guy jobber. It's Xavier Woods, little guy jobber. It's 2014, and WWE only has 6 black wrestlers on the roster.
That's crazy. And not doing a damn thing with any of them except for Mark Henry.
And that's because Mark isn't hurt for the time being, so.
I will tell you what, though, the funniest and saddest at the same time thing, getting back to the network, is at the end of some of those programs, you know how they have the superstars pop up and do the little thing with the logo?
Oh, the R-Truth one?
Oh, man. Like, if you haven't seen it, the logo comes up, and R-Truth is like, oh, wow, they got the big bugged-out eyes, and he's doing his little R-Truth dance to get away from the logo. Like, come on, man. this is the worst, most subtly offensive logo since the WB Frog. Welcome back, nigga, to the WB. And I can just see Truth dancing right next to the frog. Damn it, Vince.
I need that gif of R-Truth.
Oh yeah, if you haven't seen it, it is like, it's funny. I'm not gonna lie and say it's not funny, but as a black man, it kind of hurt my soul a little bit. Like, this nigga was the NWA champion. You don't see Ric Flair moonwalking on the logo.
Nope.
You don't see Dusty Rhodes dancing on the logo. it's R-Truth. So we gonna make like R-Truth and shuffle on out of here, Marcus, because we got something up next that I think is gonna lift both of our spirits, and that's segment four. We got some stories that boldly go where no stories have gone before.
Some semi-cracky tales.
Yes, a return, if you will. So stick and stay. More Kings of Sport, right after the break.
Welcome back to the world's most dangerous sports show. Follow the danger online at facebook.com/thekingsofsport.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Welcome back to the Kings of Sport, ready to close up shop for yet another week. But before we do, we got to give you what you want, give you what you need. And of course, what you want and need is the often imitated but never duplicated segment four. And for those of you that are new to the program, segment four is when we take a look at all the ratchetness from the world of sports, pop culture, entertainment, wherever it is. We take that ratchetness, throw it in the pot, and come out with some gumbo and serve it up to you, and that is what segment four is all about. And Marcus, are you ready to go on a trip?
I am, actually. I'm actually leaving town this weekend, so yeah, sure, I'm ready.
Okay, well, hopefully you don't take a trip to where our subject of the day has gone. And you know, it's a place called drugs, Marcus. The final frontier.
I think death is the final frontier, actually, but
yeah, well, drugs can get you to death.
That's true.
they can keep you away from death, and they can pull you closer, depending on which one you take. But we are, of course, talking about, and this actually would have been a good conversation to bring Dennis Black and Asian in on, but one of the co-hosts, the Dork Trek, shout out to Dennis, who's a new father.
Oh, yes. Congratulations, Dennis.
Yeah, he's got a little baby Black and Asian and Turkish. She's baby Black. She's Black, Asian, and Turkish, which is, yeah, he's just trying to fill out all the boxes on racial bingo.
Wow.
But yeah, we are talking about a member of the original Starship Enterprise crew, Lieutenant Uhura, a.k.a. Nichelle Nichols. And, you know, what is going on with Miss Nichols, Marcus Vandenberg? It can't be good if we talk about it in segment four.
No. We don't discriminate with age. We take all comers, even if you're 81, like Nichelle is, who was busted at Elliot. This is from TMZ.com, of course. She was with a male companion in her 20s, or in his 20s, at the American Airlines terminal, and law enforcement said his suitcase fell to the ground, and the cops opened it and found a bag of meth and drug scales. So not only meth, he's also got the equipment to measure the stuff out for, I'm assuming, distribution.
Yeah.
So the guy was arrested for drug possession. Nichelle was cleared because, you know, she's 81 and maybe not on the meth. But I guess the guy is her assistant. So
we go back to assistant problems.
Mm-hmm. They're not loyal.
These assistants ain't loyal at all. He didn't let her know. Hey, Nichelle, you might want to keep that as carry-on. Don't check that bag. Don't check it. Don't check it.
It's like, I do a lot of traveling. I don't do a lot of drugs. I don't do any drugs. But if I were to do drugs, I wouldn't carry it in a suitcase through an airport. Why would you even bring the meth? I don't get people.
This is like my argument with like every time somebody is going through a scandal like this at the airport. I had the same thoughts with Michael Vick. Remember he got caught with the weed at the airport.
Mm-hmm.
It's like Mike, wherever you're going, they got weed.
Yes.
Wherever your destination is, they gonna have some weed. And Michelle or the assistant, whoever is doing drugs, wherever you go, and they gonna have some drugs. Like drugs are readily available everywhere.
Now I'm gonna assume that finding a meth man is probably a little harder than finding a weed man.
A little bit more work involved.
Yeah.
But I mean, she is even at this point, even at 81, she is still a celebrity.
She is. I mean, I wouldn't recognize her in her current state, but she's a name for a certain community.
Marcus, let me tell you how long she's been in the game. She used to be a backup singer for Duke Ellington, man.
Oh, damn.
Duke Ellington! And now you caught up in the scandal with your assistant with some man.
Assistant, quote unquote.
Oh man, this is crazy, and it's.
Hold on. The wiki says she was praised by Martin Luther King Jr. personally. That's how old she is.
Yes, she talked to Martin Luther King personally. Like, you know what? I like you on that show. That is a wonderful, groundbreaking show. Yeah. So if you sang with Duke Ellington. And you
were taking talked to Martin
Luther King, yeah.
Talked in quotes because Martin got around. Let's not pretend. Yeah.
Oh man, and the funny thing about this, Marcus, is you know how sometimes you'll hear a story and it triggers a mental connection to another story.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's a story we didn't really talk about when it first hit. But it's not, I don't think it's going anywhere anytime soon. And that is the story of the Notre Dame player, Justin Brent, who has been linked romantically by not by anybody seeking him out. Nobody was digging through his emails or anything. He posted pictures of himself with a famous porn star, I guess. I mean, I'm not really into the porn community. I'm not, you know, I don't know who the top porn stars are in the game right now. But he was with porn star Lisa Ann, the 42-year-old, best known for her work in Nailing Palin.
By the way, freshman Justin Brent.
Yes. 18-year-old Justin Brent. In some situations, you know, he could be young enough to be her grandson if her daughter was getting down like that.
Yeah.
Like this just... Like, you know, I'm all one for love, you know. I have no problem with, the May-December romances, but it's a little suspect, man.
It's a lot of suspect.
Like, I don't think this falls under the Notre Dame personal conduct policy.
No, I mean, I guess Brian Kelly had a talk to him, head coach of the Fighting Irish, but... You know, I guess, you know, it's legal. I mean, he's of age. Barely, but he's of age. She's of a certain age.
Yes. So. I mean, she's still looking good for 42. You know, I'm not going to take that away from her. You know, props to you, Lisa Ann. But obviously, we know what she's in it for. That young strength. I don't know what he gets out of it. I mean, I'm sure... Like, you know, having sex with a porn star, I'm sure it's probably interesting. It's a good story to tell at parties. But you play for Notre Dame, and you're not like a scrub either.
Yeah.
Like, he could probably get plenty of tail around. South Bend. South Bend. Yeah, I was going to say Chapel Hill. I'm like, no, that's not right. He could probably get it at Chapel Hill, too.
Yeah.
Anywhere I know the Dame plays, he could probably get it, is what I'm saying. He don't have to get it from 42-year-old Lisa Ann, the porn star.
I just TMZ, she's going to be on TMZ Hollywood Sports, which is a thing, I guess, on Reels channel. And I just, it's supposed to be on Tuesday night, where she's going to explain how they met. Because I am curious about how they met, because
that is interesting.
You don't expect many porn stars to be taken in Notre Dame football game. So I'm just curious how exactly she, or who discovered who, I should say. But yeah, this is, how long do you think this will last?
That's a good question. Like, I mean, I'm sure it's fun and exciting right now. And you know, he's probably got the little sign over the headboard right before he's about to enter the tunnel and says, "Lay like a champion." hits it before he goes into the tunnel. But eventually, like, what's the old saying? You can't turn a hoe into a housewife, and you can't turn a porn star into, you know, that's not going to be your boo. That's not going to be your bank, as the kids will say. Like, sooner or later, like, it's cool. But you saw that episode of the Boondocks where they were talking about drugs and Gangstalicious.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, you know, some ways the drug game is cool, but in a lot of ways it's not so cool. Like, that's how I'm imagining, you know, this thing is going to end up in the end. You know, it's like, on the one hand, it's cool and it's a story to tell and it's an experience and it's a life, you know, life lesson in some aspects. But at the end of the day, it's just not a good look. Especially when you out, you know, being so open about it and putting pictures on Instagram. Like, this is a young man mistakes right now. Like, if you're going to do it, the move to do would be to be, you know what I'm saying, to do it behind closed doors. You know, real G's move in silence, like lasagna. You know, don't put your business out there on Front Street.
But, I mean, it's gonna get put. But what's the point of dating a porn star if you're not going to let the world know you're dating a porn star?
I guess, Marcus, I guess. I mean, I never told you about that time back in the 90s when me and Vanessa Del Rio had a brief tryst.
Who's that?
You don't remember Vanessa Del Rio?
Mm-mm.
Oh, man. She's probably about 60 now, but back in the day, Marcus, like, she
remember,
was so
you're
famous.
Old. You're like 5 years older than me.
She was so famous, she got a line in the Junior Mafia song from Lil' Kim. Vanessa Del Rio. I'll let you Google that while you're on the internet looking for R-Truth dancing gifts. You can take a side trip down Vanessa Del Rio lane. And I think I can speak for everybody in the audience, 35 and above. They're giving each other high fives right now. But yeah, let's see. If I was in a relationship with a porn star and I was an 18-year-old, strong, virile football player, I don't know. See, that's the other thing, man. Kids today have no filter.
Yeah.
Like, there is no filter on, you know, social media. Like, what's the kid that just broke his leg? The quarterback?
The Washington State quarterback?
Yeah, the Washington
State. Tom Holliday?
Yeah, and he was on Twitter talking about all this hard work, and I just blew my damn shot at the pros. And you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I understand what he's saying, but at the same time, somebody with a little bit more life under their belt, a little bit more, you know, perspective. Like, you know, it might not be the best thing to do to go straight to Twitter when you're frustrated, when you're angry. Just like it might not be the best thing to go straight to Instagram when you just got through having a special moment with a porn star. Because that is forever. Like, it's cool for 18-year-old Justin Brent, but what about 38-year-old Justin Brent?
Well, I mean, to be fair, look at Snoop Dogg on Instagram. He's, you know, he's 40-something and he doesn't know how to act on Instagram, so... It's not just 18-year-old thing.
Yeah, I guess you're right. I guess you're right. But yeah. That's up, man. He dating her. Like, he ain't just smashing. He's dating her.
I guess Darren Rovell.
He was the snitch on this?
Grade A troll that he is. posted the sexual activity, I guess, code of conduct that Notre Dame has.
Oh, yeah.
And, of course, he just, you know, try to put his business. I mean, granted, he's putting his own business in blast, but to go the extra step and to tweet out the section of the code of conduct just seems to be a bit much.
That was a big nasty move right there.
Yeah. Now even Alfred wouldn't do that.
Even Cuddle has his limits.
Yeah, he's out of code.
Yeah, that was suspect. But again, you know, and I'm not excusing what Ravel did, but when you post your business like that on Instagram, you open yourself up to stuff like that.
And good luck trying to prove they're having sex, by the way. Because how do you prove that?
Wouldn't it be great if this was a non-sexual relationship and they just loved each other's company?
Yeah.
And they sipped tea and read Shakespeare? Be a story for love story for the ages.
Wait until marriage.
Oh, yeah, they wait until marriage, yes.
But she's got to make that paycheck, so he's got to wait until marriage.
They keep getting them checks, Lisa.
Yeah.
And you keep getting those STD checks, Justin Brent.
Yeah.
That would be the biggest worry for me. Like, all that other stuff. Like, just the physical stuff with the STD risk, but also just the emotional stuff. Like, you know what your chick did when she went to work today.
Yeah, you can watch what she did at work.
You can watch. Yeah, not only do you know, but you can watch it.
Yeah.
Like, baby, is that a midget? It was a midget in there this week? Is that Marcus Bagwell? He was buffing. He was the stuff. Like, yeah, you come home and your girl just got smashed by Buff Bagwell in China, and now you're going to just eat dinner together like nothing happened.
Yeah, how was your day at work?
Yeah, he's a better dude than me. I couldn't do it.
I think at 18 you could do it. So you're not going to marry this woman.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, you know, you've been in a long-term relationship. You know, sometimes you get in the little silly arguments off of for no reason just because you having a bad day or she having a bad day.
Or she's hungry,
Or she's hungry. Like, just imagine, like, one of them with a porn star, you just having a bad day. She's like, baby, you just not going to do the laundry? Well, I was going to do the laundry, but you stopped sucking dick. Like, just something like that. Just misplaced aggression just popping out of nowhere.
Yeah.
All this pent up frustration about her job. Maybe when I was that young, but now I'm like, couldn't do it. Couldn't be me.
Well, she's got to be almost her retirement age.
She going to get out of the game?
I mean, she's 42. How much longer can she stay in the game?
Maybe she got the performance enhancing drugs. She in there like Barry Bonds. Just knocking it out the park.
Oh, so wait, she was out the game from 97 to 2006.
But she made a comeback?
She made a comeback, but the AIDS scared her for...
Oh, the AIDS scared her away?
9 years, yeah.
Now that the game has been cleaned up, she's back in the game.
Well, yeah, they're strict in California now, so...
She sent out a two-word press release like, Jordan, I'm back. I'm back. She got like the little breakaway pants, but the underwear comes off with it. Back in the game. How do we get here from Nichelle Nichols?
Young old relationships.
Young old relationships. Oh, so back to Nichelle real quick before we close this edition of the Kings of Sport up. What's going to happen to her? Is there any legal ramifications from this? As of yet?
Nah, I think she's in the clear. Her assistant, though, I think will have some explaining to do. But I think she's good.
Yeah, I mean, you can't send no 81-year-old to jail anyway. Not an American icon that talked to Martin.
The hell you can. Yes, you can.
you going to be the one to send Uhura to jail, man?
I don't watch Star Trek, so.
It's cold-blooded, Marcus. That is cold-blooded. After all the doors she opened up for us.
I mean, she's an icon. I'll give her that.
he said she could be an icon and an ex-con.
Yeah, she can be both.
It's her birthday, too. She'll be 82 in a month.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah. This is the last read. Like, okay, Martin Luther King was one clue that she was old. Duke Ellington was another clue that she was old. The final clue, her husband's name is like one of the oldest, blackest names I could ever imagine.
Ooh, let me try to guess. Rufus?
No. Mm. Ironically enough, it is Duke. Duke Moody.
Hmm.
Like, whoa.
Duke Moody.
Yeah, like that's real. That's like he should be coaching Division II basketball in the South somewhere. Like Duke Moody in the Charlottesville Panthers leading the MEAC standings. I think that's gonna do it for this week, Mark. I think that's a good show. That's a good place to end it.
It works for me.
Yeah, so we learned don't take drugs into the airport. Love knows no age, Marcus. And if you're going to have sex and you're a college athlete, don't let Darren Revelle find out.
Yeah, especially that last part.
Because he will put you on Front Street.
Yeah.
So, where can the people find out more information about you, Marcus? Follow all your insights in the world of sports and wrestling, and check out your Instagram, which I'm sure is porn star free.
It is. Twitter and Instagram.
I was saying, pause, that was a little too long on that pause.
Nah, I was gonna make a Bella Twins joke, but that's inappropriate. Because they're on the Instagram feed, so. Twitter and Instagram.
Have they done porn before?
No. Let's not start that rumor.
I gotta go tweet Darren Revelle right quick.
Yeah, no, that has not happened.
Yet.
But that could be a storyline on Total Divas, because you never know.
you never know what happens when a Brie gets drunk and goes into Brie mode.
Yeah. Marco Will, MarcoWill. And I will not be on the show next week, so.
Yeah, next week will be interesting. I've got a couple flyers out for a co-host. I talked to Steve Glenwick from Tag Me a Date, and so we're gonna have him on soon. We're not gonna have him on next week because I want you and Sierra to be there when we talk to Steve. So I'm thinking maybe we'll have him on the week after Survivor Series.
Okay.
Because I know we're trying to talk to Rob Schamberger, the artist, the week before.
Yeah, the 18th.
Survivor Series. Yeah. So we will see if we can holler at Steve that following week, which would be the week of Thanksgiving, I think.
Yep.
I believe.
Yeah, that's the 25th.
All right, so we'll see if we can holler at Steve then. You can check me out on Twitter, in the number 8, MOZAIK. That's going to do it for this week. Maybe we'll talk to Marcus next week, but if not, we'll holler at you in 2 weeks, brother.
Sounds good, man.
All right. So thanks for listening. We'll be back next week with an all-new episode of the world's most dangerous sports show, The Kings of Sport. So for Marcus Vandenberg, I am the godfather, Nate Milton. Beam me up, Scotty, because you've been down with the Kings.
Well, that's all for this week's edition of the Kings of Sport. Be sure to come back next week for an all-new episode. You can leave feedback for the show on Twitter at KOS_POD or via Gmail at thekingsofsport@gmail.com. Don't forget to like and rate us on iTunes and tell a friend. The Kings of Sport is a production of the Mosaic Podcast Network.
Whether you like it or not, he's back. D-A-double-D-Y, that's X. Attack like I just left.